Good morning. Last week we looked at Psalm 46, the first couple of verses, and we recognized that in the midst of the storm, God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in time of trouble. Today I want to address how we practically bring that into the realities of our life. What does that look like for us, and how do we put it into practice in the midst of the storms of life? It's easy to learn it some days on sunny days, but it's harder to place and implement that into our lives and the situations that we find ourselves in, whether those be things like the current crisis that we're in and the coronavirus where we're now quarantined and things are different for us, or whether that be the storms of life as people who we love are sick or maybe pass on, or difficult issues are going on surrounding us. But in order to understand and apply the truth of the scriptures this morning, I want to invite you into a real live storm so that we can learn the practical implications of finding Jesus in the midst of the storms of our lives as they may come into our lives, to find him to be our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in time of trouble. I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, to chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 41 this morning. And then we're going to be looking at Psalm 46, verse 10, a very familiar verse to many of us, bring it into, as application, into this picture or this story that we find in Mark chapter 4. So hear the word of God as we look to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening was coming, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, and just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the seas. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you so little faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" And then Psalm 46:10, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Psalm 46:10, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." Let's pray. Father, I do pray this morning as we look at this passage of scripture and as we think about those around us in our community, some who are struggling and striving hard, some who are working hard on our behalf, those in the medical field. We bless them and we pray that you grant them strength and help them, protect them, shield them, and guard them. We pray for those that are sick, not only with the coronavirus, but those that are also sick in other ways and maybe are fearful of getting that virus. And we just pray that you would shield them and guard them. Father, we pray as we are in this quarantine period that we would learn and grow and come to understand you in deeper, richer, and fuller ways. Father, we pray for those that are struggling with life and death. We pray for those in our church who are struggling as they see loved ones beginning to slowly pass away and go into your presence, and the anguish and the sorrow that brings, and the fear of what life will look like afterwards. And we pray for your grace in the midst of their storm today as well. Meet us in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Andrew was a little boy, he was probably, he was still in a car seat, and Kelly and I were traveling from the north part of Michigan, where I was in a varsity camp, and going all the way down to Florida and stopping along the way for a class reunion that me and my high school class was having. And as we passed through Cincinnati, it was turning dark, and a great storm arose. And there wasn't any place for us to stop. The wind was beating, and actually we could feel the car moving. And the rain was pelting down in such fierce ways that the wiper blades were having a difficult time keeping up with the rain. And then the hail came, and there was lightning, and the sky was a greenish gray. And we were afraid. Kelly was afraid, and Andrew was crying. He probably didn't know the realities of the storm, but we were afraid. And as I drove, I was afraid, and I realized in that moment that I couldn't be afraid for their sake, if you would. And I began to sing various hymns as we drove along to the best of our ability. And as I sang those hymns, this overwhelming sense of peace came into the car, and we realized that God was with us and that he was protecting us. This morning, as we look at this storm, and as we look at the storms that many of us go through in our life, many of us have fear right now. How do we bring Christ into the reality of those life issues? And in our passage, we see a literal storm, if you would, in the Gospel of Mark. And the storm is fierce. I want you to notice quickly as we go through this that a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that it was filling up. Now, that's the description that we're given by Mark in his gospel account. But then there's that other reality that most of these men were fishermen. Actually, Peter, James, and John at least were fishermen, and they knew different storms, and yet they couldn't control the boat in this one. They were afraid, even as seasoned fishermen. But that's the storm at sea. Charles Wesley, in his wonderful hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, writes this: Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into thy haven guide, O receive my soul at last. And as we think about the storms of life, Wesley actually helps us to see that life itself, in many ways, is a storm. And in this picture of the disciples on the sea, we see exactly how we tend to react to the realities of our life. The disciples didn't just come to Jesus. They had been frantically working, frantically striving at the oars and at the sails to protect the boat. It was only a last-ditch effort where they came to Jesus after they were out of control and began to ask for his help. And isn't that the same way we are? That in the storms of life, we frantically do all that we can in order to try in our best abilities, and often for the sake of our own pride, to try to make things work, to try to make our life better, to try to work our way through the storm. But after a while, and sometimes in the realities of life, the storms are so great that we give up our striving, and our pride gives way to fear, and fear gives way to anguish, and anguish gives way even to self-pity. And that's exactly what we see in this passage. The disciples come, and notice what their question is: do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are perishing? And often it's only when we get to the end of our rope that we begin to go to Jesus. And when we get to that point, our question always is, doesn't God really care for me? Doesn't he love me? Why is he allowing this to happen? And how sad it is for us that often prayer is our last resort. A number of weeks ago on the bulletin board that Grace changes every other week, she had this saying, is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? And for most of us, prayer is the means by which we begin to bring Jesus into the realities of our life. And if we're honest, far too often, prayer is more of our spare tire than it is our steering wheel. We sang just a little bit earlier, what a friend we have in Jesus. And that first verse is so wonderful, isn't it? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But then listen to the latter half of that first verse. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We let it go. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. See, bringing Jesus into the reality of our lives and into our storm shouldn't be a last-ditch effort. It should be the first thing that we actually go to. But in order to do that, Psalm 46:10 says that we have to stop. We have to stop or cease striving. That's the first thing that we're to do. We're to stop trying in our own strength to do what we know that Jesus can do far better than we can. And yet often we forfeit that peace and that reality in our lives. Now, in many ways, the coronavirus is forced us into two spiritual disciplines that we normally don't partake in. Most of us at least don't. The first is fasting. It's caused us to cease or to fast from the realities that we normally bring into our lives. We can no longer socialize as we did a month ago. Our schedules have been ripped apart and everything has been gutted from our schedules, often those things that keep us from doing those things that help us build our relationship with God. So now we're called to fast. We have a social fasting, if you will, and we're recognizing how much we love our social activities and how much time they fill and how much effort we give to them and how much value they are to us. Now, I'm not suggesting that social things are not good for us to partake in, but sometimes they become the thing that we strive with in order to make sense of life. And the coronavirus has caused us to fast. We can't do those things. The second thing is it's caused us to rest. A Sabbath rest is what God calls us to every Sabbath day. To rest, to cease from our labor, and to find our rest in worship and exalting Him above all else. And so to be able to rest. This phrase in the Hebrew, cease, is to relax and to rest. It's to stop, but it's also to sit down, if you would, in an overstuffed chair and enjoy that reality. But most of us, if we think of our lives, we don't think of them as resting and relaxing in God. We're often far too much in a hurry. But in some ways, the coronavirus has allowed us to cease from our strivings. It's given us time to sit around the table and to eat as a family, to have family devotions when we didn't normally have those before, to take long walks together, to have longer time in the Word and in prayer, and we'll see that value as well. And in this time of ceasing, the question is, what are we going to do with this time? We didn't choose this, neither did we want this to come upon ourselves, but we have that time at this present reality. In The Lord of the Rings and in the minds of Moria, as the fellowship is in the minds and Gandalf is trying to figure out which way to go, he has a conversation with young Frodo. And Frodo says to Gandalf about the ring, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish that none of this had happened." And Gandalf in his wisdom says this, and it's a wonderful reality for us today, isn't it? Gandalf says, "So do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is to do with the time that has been given to us." And so the question is, as we cease or are forced to cease, how do we begin to use that time? See, the storms of life come not because God is mean. They come actually as a result of the reality of sin in our lives. That brokenness, that dysfunction that comes because sin entered into this world. And life is a storm because of that reality. And the glory of the gospel is the wonder that we have a God who sits with us and enters into the reality of our storms. But if you want to know God in the midst of the storm, not only do you need to cease, but you also need to begin to know him. Meaning, knowing him is to put effort into your relationship and your walk with God. So we have time now. What are we going to do with it? And this is an opportunity for us to know God in a deeper, richer reality than we often don't get in our busy and hurried world. And so we need to know God through his word. And I would encourage us that as we have this time, that we would wake up and instead of going to our computer or instead of going to our phone, take some longer time with the Lord. Maybe you're not in the habit of doing that, and develop that habit during this time so that that habit will keep on going. Spend time in prayer. Walk around your neighborhood. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your family members. Pray and just fellowship with God, reflecting back to him that for which you are grateful and thankful about who he is and how he's beginning to meet you. See, when we begin to cease and we go to Jesus, as the disciples do, then Jesus enters that reality and brings peace. Now, in this story, Jesus says to the wind and waves, "Be still." In other words, he's saying, "Hush, quiet down." The wind and the waves obey him. But notice what happens to the disciples. They know Jesus in a very different way. Not because they didn't have a storm, but because they did have a storm. And in the midst of that storm, Jesus met them in this wonderful way. And notice what their reaction is. They were filled with great fear or awe. And they said to one another, and here's how they grew in their understanding of Jesus. "What then is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" See, when we bring Jesus into the reality of our life and Jesus meets us and begins to change, not simply the realities around us, but us and our understanding of him, we walk away with a different, richer, greater understanding of who Jesus is. And as we do, our faith begins to grow. Not because we are conjuring it up, because the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, begins to be magnified before our very eyes. The last part of Psalm 46:10 says, God says, I will be exalted in the nations, and I will be exalted in all the earth. See, we can come to know God by ceasing and by investing more time, but his exaltation is not dependent on us doing that. Our understanding of his greatness is dependent on that. But God says, I will be. It's not a matter of what you do. I will be exalted in the nations, and I will be exalted on the whole earth. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this in a very different way. He says, he talks about how Jesus entered this world and died for our sins, and how God the Father exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's a done reality. That will happen whether you believe and trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning or whether you don't. Your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God tells us that he will be exalted. And the question is, by our ceasing and by our knowing, we actually enter into the praise of a God who is already exalted because we see him in a very different light and reality. See, silver linings in clouds are the fact that the cloud is a small reality, but it's closer to us, and it blocks out the light of the greater sun. But that silver lining helps us to realize that behind this cloud is a greater reality. And as we think about the storms of life, what we recognize and realize is this, that behind this storm, which will pass, is a greater exalted Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need during this time, during our current storm, whether it be the coronavirus or whether it be sicknesses that we're going through or financial difficulties or whatever, we need to recognize that we need perspective. That this looks large and is looming large in our eyes simply because it's closer, but God is far, far greater than the reality that seems to loom large in our life. And by ceasing and being still, stop and striving, resting and relaxing in knowing God, all of a sudden what we see and realize is that this life, this moment, this time, this life on this earth is simply but a vapor and a mist that will pass away in a moment. And brothers and sisters, as we think about life, we need to recognize that in this moment, we have the opportunity to come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of us need to do that for eternal life, for our salvation, to trust him as our Savior, that he died for our sins. But many of us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ need that perspective in our lives as well, that we come and we recognize that he is far greater than the storm or the situation that we're going through. And the perspective that we need to glean is the fact that this life is just a mist, and after this life will be eternal life. And eternal life will never end. And we will see Jesus face to face. And we see this glorious picture, and I want to end with this, which is the truth and the reality of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ from Revelation chapter 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. And God himself will be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks that the reality of Revelation 21 is a reality that is true, and we can rest in it and we can trust in it. And you are seated on the throne in the midst of this reality that is going on about us today. Father, we ask that you would help us to cease striving in our own strength, to rest and relax in the God who we love, to learn to trust in him, to know him better in the midst of the storm, and to see him exalted higher than the realities that seem so close to us today, and to know that his person and his plan is greater than we can ever tell. And there will be that glorious day, that cloudless day, when we will see Christ and we will be with him, and he will be our God forever and ever, and his glory will shine, and the realities of this storm of this life will be no more. We thank you for that promise. We pray that we would rest and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made that promise a reality for all who've trusted in him as their Savior and that and their Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.